Last year, Adam and I and a few hundred friends of DeSoto gathered in the Masonic Lodge inside a cemetery in the heart of Hollywood. Were we there to practice some dark rite? Some sinister ritual designed to bring deceased Star Trek actors back to the plane of the living? To bring an unholy horde of undead nerd celebrities to Earth to consume the brains of the living? No, we were just doing our live show of the Share Your Embarrassment Tour. It's our review of Star Trek V, and we filmed it. We just wanted to let you know to get ready for that live stream announcement coming next week. If you're a Max Fun member and you support our shows, you'll get access to discounted tickets from membership at MaximumFun.org. So, good time to make sure those emails are delivering properly to your inbox. Either way, we'll be announcing ticket links soon here and on our mailing list that you can sign up for at podshop.biz. The Share Your Embarrassment Tour is coming to your living room for one last stop, and you're not going to want to miss it.
Here's to the finest crew in Starfleet. Engage.
Welcome to The Greatest Generation, a Star Trek podcast by two guys who are a little bit embarrassed to have a Star Trek podcast. I'm Adam Pranica.
I'm Ben Harrison.
Hey, Ben.
What's that, Adam?
We got kind of a crazy tweet last night. You know which tweet I'm talking about?
I think I do. It was this morning.
Right. Well, I was just getting off of a 16-hour shoot and was in bed at like 1 in the morning when I read this thing, and it kind of kept me up. It was so great.
So you lost sleep over this.
In a good way. So one of our Twitter followers teased this earlier.
Yes.
She's like, look, I'm going to this Star Trek convention, and there's an opportunity to sing karaoke with Connor Trinneer and Dominic Keating, like, on stage. And I get this tweet, and I've got to tell you, like, at the time we got it, I was like, oh, well, great, good for you. Like, nothing's going to come of this. This is just, like, an exciting development for one of our beloved viewers. Like, cool. But she goes on to say, I want to sing the Drunk Shimoda song. And then I became very interested.
That's a major ripple in the story.
But still, like, hear about a random person willing to sing the Drunk Shimoda song in public with two stars of the Star Trek canon.
Yeah, they're from Enterprise, right? They're like the, what is it, the engineer and like the, maybe they're both engineers. I can't remember how that show goes.
Does one of them get naked in the first episode?
Hope so.
We'll get from there to here eventually. So last night, she sends the video, and it is awesome.
It's fucking the greatest, because like she like filled the dance floor up with this.
Yeah, there's people in Starfleet uniforms dancing to the Drunk Shimoda song, and she's up there singing Drunk Shimoda to the song My Sharona, and it sounds perfect. Like, she nails all the lyrics.
She hits those notes.
It's hilarious.
It's great. And like the guys on stage are into it too. Like they're fully rocking out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
I sort of got the idea that a few of the people on the dance floor got the reference too. Maybe we had some Greatest Gen viewers.
I think we may have had the first unofficial Greatest Gen Con take place in our absence.
It's only right that the first Greatest Gen Con happens and we're not around.
Whenever you make something that goes on the internet, inevitably there are going to be some people that say mean things about it, and we've definitely had a troll or two, and they suck and they make me feel really bad, and this type of thing just turns it all around. I've been beaming all day. I only wish that my wife understood anything about this so that I could show it to her and she could like enjoy it with me.
Yeah, it's weird. You tell your wife that that a stranger on the internet sung a song to you, and the wife like isn't into that.
No, yeah, I don't know why.
She'll never understand how much we enjoy this stuff.
No.
Anyway, I believe this is in the process. If it hasn't been already, it's going to be posted to the Greatest Gen Facebook page. It's out there on Twitter right now. You can search for it under the hashtag Greatest Gen. But
I posted her tweet to the Reddit already. So
awesome.
I think the title is like, this is the greatest thing that ever happened, or Drunk Shimoda karaoke or something like that.
I think it's awesome that something that another fan made gets remixed into something else by a different fan.
Yeah, so Carl Phillips like heard our riffing up the idea of the song, made the song a reality, and then this viewer goes and does it live on stage. Amazing. It just feels so cool to be making something that other people are helping to create ancillary culture around.
Yeah.
You know? Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody that's listening, because I feel like all of you have contributed to the awesomeness of today.
Well put. Maybe we should turn our attention to Season 3, Episode 11, The Hunted. Ben, this is one of several episodes this season that feels very Rambo-inspired.
It was kind of Rambo meets Jason Bourne meets The Fugitive.
Yeah.
In space.
Meets Universal Soldier.
Yeah. So the Enterprise is taking a look around a planet that wants in. When they heard about what they got going on in the Federation, they're like, we got to get us some of that. This planet is called Angosia 3. And the prime minister of the world government, Farmer Hoggett, with a mustache, is given Riker and Picard a little tour of the planet. And it's definitely like not Riker's type of place. He's definitely like not gotten his dick wet yet, and so
he doesn't like his chances either.
Yeah, like. He takes one look at that mustache and he's like, this isn't the kind of sex I'm into.
A lot of nuck on this planet too.
Yeah. There is it's kind of like Kyle Riker type costumes on everybody.
Yeah. If the Edo decided to like go to church on Sunday, like they would still want to maintain the nuck framing that they're known for, but they'd also want to cover up into something more formal.
Be a little bit more respectful.
Yeah.
Picard and Riker are down on the planet, leaving Data in command of the Enterprise, and some shit pops off where a convict escapes the penal colony on Lunar 5, which is the super uncreative name of one of their moons.
The colony is called Temp Name.
Yeah, exactly. TK, TK, TK. The Enterprise is tracking the ship because the Angosians don't have good enough ships to track one of their own ships for whatever reason. And this guy keeps using kind of sleight of hand and misdirection to make them think that he is in one place when he is in another. Like, he goes around an asteroid and, like, shoots the drive section of the ship out, and they're like, oh, well, we're not getting any life signs on this, so he must be somewhere else. And it's like it's very confusing, but eventually Data sort of picks up the pattern and like figures out how to capture this escaped prisoner.
He's like the David Blaine of shuttlecraft pilots.
Mm-hmm.
Your card just left the deck. Look through the deck, your card isn't there. Go ahead.
He is shocking the hell out of everyone who's seeing what he's doing.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of my house.
And there's this weird tone on the bridge where, like, they're on a mission to get this guy who escaped from prison, so they know he's bad. But there's sort of an air of like, respect for the guy's moves. Like, sort of a game respect game going on here. Like, wow, this guy's good.
It's cool to see, like, Data kind of work it out in real time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me, kind of Data moment, and he deduces that this guy is undetectable by sensors, and that's what's causing them to be so perpetually confused. Which would have been, I mean, if Farmer Hoggett would have like mentioned that, you know, like, by the way,
Yeah, that would have been good information to have.
Yeah, but Farmer Hoggett kind of has a skeleton in the closet here, and we'll come to learn more about that in a bit.
Our podcast is all about unearthing character skeletons,
mm-hmm.
dragging them into the light.
Yeah. The pursuit ends with, or we think it ends with, them beaming the humanoid-shaped but not detectable by sensors otherwise object inside one of these pieces of this ship aboard the Enterprise, and they like hold him in stasis for a bit and get. Is that right? Remember.
Yeah, O'Brien's like,
I watched this
look,
like a week ago, by the way.
I know. Yeah, this is one of the rare times that we've recorded an episode of our show many days after we saw the episode of the Next Generation.
I guess I don't even remember what it was, but I think we both thought we were about to record, and then something came up where we couldn't. So yeah. this one's deep in our foggy memories, and
this will be a real loose episode.
Yeah, it's gonna be. Fast and loose with the facts. But anyways, he gets on the transporter pad and starts mollywopping the Dustbuster Club that shows up to get him. And like Riker and Worf are on their way down, but meantime he's like putting the butt of his hand up Chief O'Brien's nose, you know.
This is
basically kicks everybody's ass.
This is an awesome scene. Like, he takes apart this room and this group of security people in like a real Steven Seagal kind of way.
It's sort of like Jason Bourne in the embassy in that first movie. Like,
he gives everyone a little bit of attention. Like, yeah. Every single person who tries to apprehend him gets two bone-breaking moves. Yeah. Like, heel of the hand to the nose and then a broken arm. Everyone gets one of those.
Yeah, I wish he had done, like, a couple of, like, take a dustbuster apart into, like, three pieces in, like, a smooth hand movement, you know?
Yeah.
Like, disarm somebody, disassemble their weapon, and and then, like, keep kicking their ass before they have time to react.
And O'Brien has just got to be excited to be a part of something. Like,
yeah.
Even though he is getting his ass kicked and he gets shot, like, he's got to be thrilled.
Yeah. So, basically, Worf and Riker are showing up at the transporter room as the brawl spills out into the hallway, and like they have to like run and tackle this guy, and they finally sort of get him under control.
They do that sit on him. They sit on his chest.
Yeah,
I was kind of surprised. Like, they throw six guys at this one person. None of the six can take him down, but Worf and Riker can.
Yeah,
like, I think that says a lot about their melee combat skills.
Well, also Worf and Riker are used to like turning the holodeck up to 11 and going at it with skull-faced guys, you know.
And they're both used to sitting on chests.
Yeah, totally. I mean, Riker was tempted to move up to sitting on face, but
right,
know, not he managed to resist because yeah. You know, Roga is resisting, and Riker is very. I just feel like Riker is, like, really into consent, you know? Like, consent is, like, almost Riker's fetish. You know, like Riker fucks a lot, but, like, the game for him is how much consent he's able to obtain, you know?
Yeah.
Like, enthusiastic, unqualified consent that just, like, floods in from all directions.
Like, don't consent too much. Or,
yeah.
Like, pull back that consent just a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's
Riker
why
Riker wants to keep his edge.
And that's why Riker doesn't fuck with Angosia, you know? Like, these people all look a little unwilling.
Yeah.
This prisoner gets tossed in the space pokey.
The space pokey playset.
So this is Roga Daynar, and he is a former soldier. And he's in, like, dirty, dirty clothes, and
he's kind of a strapping, good-looking dude.
I thought they should have given him some like, either some prison clothes or just a clean set of clothes, because they let him just kind of rot in the prison without, like, he's dirty as fuck, you know? Like,
the Starfleet contractor uniform looks more prison-like than what this guy's wearing.
Yeah, he's got,
like, this guy actually looks pretty cool.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of a Beyond Thunderdome thing going on. not quite as rubbery, but
especially with his eye makeup, right?
Yeah. And
he's had a highlighter drawn across his face, sort of like a guy who passed out drunk at a party.
Yeah. So that tells you what the Angosians' cocks look like. Another reason Riker is just completely disinterested.
Yeah. He's disgusted by that childish behavior.
Seriously.
This is becoming a speech.
You're the captain, sir. You're entitled.
Not entitled to ramble on about something everyone knows.
Troy is like walking down the hall and gets kind of...
She gets a special tingle.
Yeah, there's like the wafting smell of stinky cheese, and she like floats off the ground until she finds herself in front of the cell. And she starts to have what becomes kind of a protracted conversation between herself and Daynar.
Are you the keeper of this jail?
I'm Deanna Troi, ship's counselor.
She sort of stands there to allow him to provide some exposition about who he is, why he's there, why he was imprisoned. And his deal is he's genetically enhanced to be like a super soldier and to be, you know, cunning and ruthless. And the soldiers that, you know, that came from his unit have all been sort of relegated to living on this penal colony on Lunar 5 because they're too violent and soldiery to integrate into the super buttoned down society that Angosia 3 has become in the post-war period.
This is basically a rewrite of the last scene in First Blood where... Mm-hmm. Where Stallone's Rambo character is like, look, I was built to be this super soldier. And then by the time when it was time for me to come home, I couldn't turn it off. This way that I was taught, this life that I was given, mm-hmm. the war that I was told to go fight.
All these flowers put in my gun barrel.
Yeah. Yeah. And the prime minister on the planet is like the Will Teasel character who's like, he wants Daynar to get the fuck out of his town.
Yeah. So they're like, damn, this is like pretty whack that they're just imprisoning this guy because he doesn't fit in that good. So they
yeah, and it's an interesting time to find this guy because as we stated at the top of the episode, like this is a planet that wants to be in the Federation, and so they're like trying to put on airs and be on their best behavior. This is sort of a black eye on the whole thing.
So they FaceTime up Nayrok and they're like, "Is this true? Like, is this guy who he says he is?" And he's like, yeah, frankly, this is the best thing for them. We can't have a stable society when there's a bunch of guys that are wired to be at war all the time walking around in it. And this is like the most humane thing we could come up with. Like, they're treated well. It's not like a prison. It's just a different place that they have to live and can't leave. Which is, you know, as dubious a distinction as that makes it sound.
They sure make it sound like a bunch of FEMA trailers on a asteroid, you know? Like, look, they've got food and they've got water.
Right.
That's like, good, right?
It's like Bill O'Reilly's description of how it was nice for the slaves that built the White House. You know? It's like, sounds like they were still slaves.
Yeah, exactly. If you're in a place you don't want to be, like, it doesn't matter how great it is.
Yeah. So Troy's having this ongoing conversation with him, and part of his deal is that he's been like modified on a chemical and genetic level, and part of it is that he's been kind of conditioned. And she really believes that any like psychological changes that were made to him could be kind of backed out and reversed ultimately. She's a very optimistic mental health practitioner, and she's like, well, have they even tried that? And he's like, no, like they're not.
That'll never work.
Yeah. And
it's sort of like your friend's having relationship problems, and he's like, oh my god, this is terrible. We fight all the time. I think we might have to break up. And you ask him like, well, have you told her that you're feeling this way? And he's like, no, that would never work.
Yeah. It's like, bro, like communication is key.
Yeah.
And I think that the government just didn't want to take a risk on like trying to work this out and then have one of them, you know, tear a shopkeeper's head off over like a return policy that he didn't like and have that right. kind of fall on the politician's hands.
You don't want a Danar type blowing up a town because of some fireworks going off down the street, you know?
Right, yeah. So the Angosians are sending like a prison transport to come pick Danar up, and they're like, everything is like pretty tense because they're getting ready to beam him off, and they're like,
Mr. Wolf, have all security precautions been taken?
Release of the force field and activation of the transporter will be virtually simultaneous. There will only be a 0.1 second difference between them.
Even Danar can't move that fast.
Sure enough, like they go down there with a bunch of dustbusters and like watch as he is supposedly get transported over the prison transport, and and he like breaks out of the confinement beam in the transporter, and he manages to like get a weapon and get on the hoof, and he's like loose in the Enterprise.
This is a great scene.
Yeah, this is when you need the U.S. Marshals to come in, right?
What I want out of each and every one of you is a hard target search of every gas station, residence, warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in that area. Checkpoints go up at 15 miles. Your fugitive's name is Dr.
Drogo Dana.
You need a Richard Crenna figure.
Yeah, and it's like a real conundrum because they're so used to everybody being detectable that
yeah.
they can only kind of figure out where he's going by getting everybody to, like, you know, they sound general quarters and everybody has to, like, go to where they're supposed to be, and then every time a door opens or a turbo lift gets activated, they're like, oh, he's on deck 6. Oh, he's on deck 4. Oh, he's in the Jeffries tube.
Yeah, he's dropping like breadcrumbs of destruction around the ship.
Yeah,
which is both a good for them in terms of trying to figure out where he's going, but also sort of a strategy by Danar because he can direct their attention to wherever he wants it based on what he's doing.
Yeah, there's a pretty badass scene where he like overloads a phaser and leaves it in a turbo lift that. Oh, you know, the doors open and Worf realizes that it's going to blow a chunk of the ship to hell and tells everybody to run away. And he like charges in there and deactivates the phaser, which was pretty fucking badass. Like,
yeah,
major props for the bravery on display when Worf did that.
Yeah, he was ready to jump on the dustbuster.
Totally. And like he's leaving overloaded phasers all over the place and just causing all kinds of mayhem. And finally, they figure out he's in a cargo bay, and so they decide to flood the cargo bay with gas to like knock him out. And
Picard deploys a gas called anastazine.
I want you to flood them with anastazine.
And I truly believe he's the only one that has a working knowledge of this, but only because it comes in a powder form, typically, yeah. and is tasteless and odorless. he usually puts it in drinks.
Sure.
We could use some anastazine, Rudy.
They're like, what's that?
Why aren't you drinking your beverage?
What they didn't count on, though, is there is a spacesuit in a storage crate in this cargo bay. And Danar, like, really quickly knows exactly where to look for this, pulls it out. And so they come down there, like, thinking they're going to find Danar passed out. And instead what they find is an empty cargo bay and a used pressure suit. And so Worf radios up and he's like, he got away from us again. We got to search the rest of the ship. Like, he must be somewhere else. And we hear Worf leave and Danar comes out from behind some barrels. And then Worf is like,
Danar, you are cunning.
And we get our second complex fight scene in one episode, which is great.
Fun.
Like 50-gallon drums are flying around. Little hexagonal storage units flying all over the place. It's great. Yeah. It's like a warehouse fight.
And where does he beam when he beams out of here, but the ship that he was supposed to beam over to before?
No one will ever find him there.
Yeah. It's like pulling some purloined letter shit. It's like, why did you go through all the trouble of not beaming to the ship, only to beam to the ship?
I think at that point, he's got to know that he's not going to take over the Enterprise.
Yeah.
Like, what's the one ship that can actually offer an escape for him? That's the only one.
Yeah.
Unless he wants to steal a bunk bed.
Right. I mean, which would have been fun, but I feel like the Enterprise can probably shut those down remotely.
Yeah. Ever since the Jake episode, there's a written process
now
to shut that shit down.
Yeah, there's a Jake stingray.
Yeah. They won't get Jaked again.
Yeah.
My love is a peep, but long in jail for that which longer nurseth the disease. Tell me more, you'll have to go again.
He beams over and they're like, oh, fuck, like, get him. And they realize they can't because, like, one of the stops that Daynar made on his little ramble through the ship was a Jim Shimoda memorial corner, and he pulled a bunch of isolineered ships and fucked some shit up in the system. So the Enterprise is essentially defanged for the time being, and they can't do anything to get Daynar. So the man who is brilliant at escaping has escaped anew.
Who could have guessed this?
Yeah, I mean, this was a real exciting series of beats, I feel like.
Yeah.
The guys, like, the trade craft in season 3 is so fun and inventive, you know? It, mm-hmm. like, kind of takes the premises of all the objects and established technologies of the show and really, like, imagines cool and devious ways to use them.
It's real refreshing to see fight scenes shot wide again. Like, you sort of forget that you used to be able to see fights on TV and in movies.
Yeah.
Instead of just, like, cut, 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 cut.
Yeah. This is one thing that it does not borrow from Jason Bourne.
Right.
So
he uses the ship to launch an attack on the old penal colony, right?
Right. He goes and he basically, like, takes out all the guard towers and lands. I mean, we're just told this, but it would have been cool if they showed it, but
I know, I understand why we didn't see it, because to show it would be so expensive, but man, that must have been great.
Mm-hmm. And so the Farmer Hoggett, is freaking out because they don't really have any way to stop Daynar and all of these super soldiers from coming back to Angoja 3 now. And so they're like, they're shitting themselves, and they are probably right to be shitting themselves, right? These guys are real pissed off, and they have good reason to be.
Yeah, the super soldiers have come home to roost. That's how the saying goes, right?
Mm-hmm. So they put down in the city, and they're like converging on the capital, and Picard is like, okay, enough. And he beams down directly to the capital, right as Farmer Hoggett and all of his government stooges are getting armed to the teeth to prepare to try and repel this super soldier attack. And Farmer Hoggett is like, listen, like, there's just nothing we can do. Like, we really wish we could, but we're desperate here. Like, we can't incorporate them into our society. We're not going to kill them. We just, like, this is the best solution we have. And they're so pissed off at us. Like, please help us. Please get rid of them so that we can become part of your Federation and be, you know, rich and happy for the rest of our lives. and that's just, like, right when Daynar and all of the, like, MacGyver-looking guys storm...
Yeah, all the Michael Beans.
Yeah, they storm the palace with their armaments. And one thing we have learned is that they're kind of... their training, they have, like, pretty strict rules of engagement, which is kind of a surprising choice for super killers. But they won't attack if they are not under threat. So Picard convinces everybody to drop their laser beam weapons, and that sort of, like, Daynar's like, come on, shoot at me!
Come on! Do it!
Do it! Shoot me with a laser beam!
Kill me! Yeah. Yeah, it's 5 minutes of Schwarzenegger impressions.
Yeah.
Before Picard's like, all right, see ya.
Yeah.
Fix it. Fix it yourself. Fix it damn self.
Yeah, and he basically is like, hey, like, good luck with your little government there, Farmer Hoggett. We're very interested in the things that we learned here on this inspection trip, and we will advise the Federation Council of what we've seen. And if your government has survived after this little standoff, we are happy to help you try and reverse the conditioning of these guys that fought and died for your country.
Right. Yeah. And then they beam off.
Yeah. They're like, peace.
Kind of great. Kind of a limbo ending.
Yeah. Good times.
In space, I do not love thee. With mine eyes, they be. A thousand heresies, but 'tis my heart.
Did you like this episode, Ben? It's very important that we go over whether or not we like these episodes.
Yeah. I really liked it. I thought it was a tight script. I mean, there was a couple little misses in there, but more or less like a fun one to watch that had a lot of interesting ideas. And, you know, I think sci-fi at its best sort of imagines a society that allows you to like compare and contrast your own society's behaviors with it. And this really does that. And it was also really fun to see like a total A-lister like James Cromwell before he became famous.
Yeah, that was cool. I liked it too. I liked I like genre blending a little bit. And I like how on the nose the Rambo comparisons are. Like, I'm a big fan of that Rambo trilogy, and so I thought it was really cool to see a storyline just sort of picked up and dropped off.
Trilogy? It's a quadrilogy, bro.
Oh, yeah. There is that fourth movie, which was just a blood and guts fest. Yeah, I like this episode too. It's fun to see a lot of fight scenes every once in a while.
Yeah. I wasn't quite as hot on the initial transporter pad fight scene as you were, but I totally appreciate what you're saying about it being nice to see just a wide shot of some stage combat.
Yeah, the shot composition didn't do it any favors. And my Steven Seagal comparison was meant to be disparaging. Like,
right.
It didn't look great, but it was fun to see a bunch of wrestling and stuff. Yeah. It was cool. And also, it was interesting to me that the solution to a problem was just to throw more bodies at it. Like, this seems like a very original series solution to a next generation problem. Like let's just put as many people in danger as we can. Like, I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, fair enough.
I wish we got a little follow-up scene in sickbay with O'Brien, who's been like phaser blasted all to hell, yeah. And he's talking to Beverly.
Yeah, like, oh, my celloing hand.
Beverly doesn't even
Scottish accent. I don't know what I'm doing.
Dr. Crusher doesn't even know who he is. Like, yeah. No, I'm Chief O'Brien. I'm the guy who beams you places. And she's like, who? I got into an adventure today. He's just beaming. Yeah. Good times.
Priority one message from Starfleet coming in on secured channel.
Need a supplemental income.
Supplemental income?
Supplemental. Yeah, it's extra.
By the interest alone, could be enough to buy this ship.
Hey, Ben, want to make a little money?
Let's get some scarves.
Our very first priority one message, commercial message, comes from Telios Development, Ben.
Yeah. Telios is spelled T-E-L-E-I-O-S, and it's a business advising firm that specializes in helping engineering firms and family businesses grow and earn more profit. Not something that either of us could take advantage of, but I would be shocked if none of our listeners have engineering firms or family businesses that wouldn't like to make more profit, Ferengi-like.
I'm sure a business like Telios looks at the way we're running our podcast, basically profit-free, mind you, and it's like, what the hell? We need to jump in there and help these people. Telios, of course, not helping us at the moment. We're just doing an ad for them.
This is a pity jumbotron, you're saying.
Right, yeah. they're using us as an example of what not to do, I think.
Right, this is a counterexample. But they would love to create a specialized strategy for your organization today. And this is our first priority one message. And I would like to set a good example going forward by referring some business to Telios Development. So if anybody out there could use a consult, could use some advisement on how to get some more scarves in your family business or engineering firm, email Joe P, that's J-O-E-P, at teliosdevelopment.com to learn more.
You know how sometimes you get into business with people and you don't exactly know where they're coming from, right? Like, you aren't sure if they're there to take advantage of you. You're not sure maybe if they're someone like you. I feel like anyone who would advertise on our show,
right,
at least begins with being a listener of our show. And I think that is some great common ground to begin with if you want to get into business with someone. Like, holy shit, could you imagine working with an advising firm that listens to this show?
Any business meeting that ends with selecting who was the drunk Shimoda in that meeting?
Yeah.
All right by me.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, definitely when you email Joe P, sprinkle some references in and bat this ball around. I think that could be fun.
Yeah. I also just wish, like, anybody could tell me how to earn more profit in my life. So
yeah.
I wish I should, like, change careers to engineering or whatever.
Yeah. Well, our thanks to Telios Development for helping to support the show through their Priority One message.
If you'd like to leave your own Jumbotron message, go to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron for a personal or business message. Thanks, guys. Darmok and Jalad and
Tanagra. When I was growing up, I didn't have anyone to tell me about personal grooming. I had to learn these things on my own. So I'm here to save you some embarrassment and recommend the grooming tools that I use, the products from Manscaped. Now, this is a company that constantly has its mind on your bush. Imagine the meetings they have. Imagine the pictures they have in their PowerPoint presentations. Now imagine your junk looking its best thanks to the Lawnmower 5.0. This thing is the latest Bonch trimming technology with two interchangeable heads, a standard one for taking just a little off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code SCARVES at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code SCARVES at manscaped.com. Nothing like a little spring cleaning in your pants.
Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Aura Frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. Every mom I have ever given an Aura Frame to has absolutely loved it, and that includes a lot of moms I know. This is a gift that I have personally given many, many times, and it's great. I can upload photos from my phone the moment I take them, and that means that mom or grandma out there is going to get pictures of their loved ones delivered to their living room. And right now, Aura is having a great sale for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com, and use the code SCARVES at checkout to show your support for our show. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I'd discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
Video games can make you laugh.
They can make you cry.
They can even make you sing.
We're the hosts of Triple Click.
It's a podcast about video games.
This is an exciting time for new games, from Diablo to Final Fantasy.
From Starfield to Street Fighter.
From Zelda to, oh, who are we kidding? We're just going to talk about Zelda.
Whether you play games or you just like hearing about them, we've got you covered.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
Hey, Ben.
What's that, Adam?
Did you find yourself a drunk Shimoda? In an episode that featured Shimoda Corner and someone actually doing some Shimoda-ing.
Yeah, actually, like, he didn't quite get to Jenga-level Shimoda-ing, but...
Yeah.
My Shimoda in this episode is Farmer Hoggett. I think he really... he's supposed to be the prime minister of Angosia 3, and... Picard and Riker leave, and like he knows what this guy is that is escaping. Like, I don't think he knows specifically who it is, but he knows what he is. And he is just like, hey, can you solve this problem for me? Thanks. Bye. And he doesn't go with them or send somebody there. Like, all they needed to do was send a spin doctor to the Enterprise to kind of manage the narrative of what Roga Danar's deal is, and it totally would have like affected the way the whole thing worked out. And like, so, you know, like, they never gave the Enterprise enough information to know what Roga Danar's capabilities were, and that was why he was constantly like slipping through the cracks of their security. And if he had just like sent somebody that could like transmit that information to them in a way that like affected the way they're thinking about the scenario, they probably would have not punched the snooze button on their admittance to the Federation.
Right. He was in full cover-up mode. What a terrible representation of his people. Like,
yeah. I mean, he was like in the opposite of cover-up mode. He like completely neglected to cover anything up, which he should have.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, what a terribly run planet, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't think we want these people in the Federation at all.
Yeah.
I think I would rather have the prisoners in the Federation.
They, yeah, they
look
seem
like
cool.
They can get shit done.
Yeah, they probably can rock out, too.
Yeah. Good Shimoda.
How about yourself? Did you have a drunk Shimoda?
Yeah, so we get a couple of scenes in this episode where we're told things happen and then we see the aftermath or we don't see it at all. One of those was at the end when Danar takes a shuttle and destroys the penal colony and breaks out a bunch of prisoners.
Yeah.
The other time is when we go to engineering after Danar has been there and shit is fucked. Like, tables have been flipped over, Geordi's visor's on the ground. Geordi's visor being on the ground is like is the briefest possible amount of time that you could show that fucked up shit is happening.
Yeah.
But one of the things in this scene that is maybe my favorite part of the whole episode is, so there's bodies strewn everywhere. Danar has taken apart the entire engineering team.
Yeah.
1-on-20. One of the random lieutenants has been placed on the engineering table. Like his legs are draped off the side and his torso's up top.
Yeah.
Like, he's sort of Lieutenant Dirt Napping up there. And I wish so bad that I had seen the fight scene that somehow made that guy end up in that position. I just thought that was great. Like, why is he up there? Why isn't he on the ground? So Lieutenant Dirt Nap is my drunk Shimoda.
Oh, man, he's never going to live that name down.
I know. Yeah, terrible. I'm trying to put my mind in the place of like the person who blocked that scene.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we'll have you over here with the prosthetic broken arm. We'll have Geordi just sort of hunched over his station. And you, what are we going to do with you? Well, I don't really want to be on the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little sticky from all the marks that they've put down with gaff tape.
How about I get up on this table? You know, I don't think we're going to use it, but why don't we shoot it?
Yeah.
That's definitely the case there.
Fun.
I am Locutus aboard. You will respond to my questions. I am Locutus aboard. You are Borg.
What do we have coming up on the next episode, Ben?
The next episode is Season 3, Episode 12, The High Ground. Dr. Crusher's abduction by a radical terrorist group thrust the crew into an explosive civil war on Rutia 4. Do you remember this episode, Adam?
Who would abduct Dr. Crusher.
A guy with some big guy, old 90s hair.
Guy who's really into some wigs.
Yeah.
They go to abduct her, and then they're like, no, you got to go back home and get your wigs. And I'll abduct you again. If she dies on this mission, do they just fill an empty torpedo tube casing with her wigs and then shoot it out into space?
Then they ring up Pulaski and like, hey, you know how you retired?
Yeah.
Any chance at all that you'd consider coming back out of retirement for a few more seasons?
She is so loud on the phone. Like, she just cannot. She has no sense of the volume of her own voice. She calls back at like 6 in the morning. Mm-hmm. What are you doing up this early? Yeah. Bring back Pulaski. At this point, I'd be into it.
Well, I want to say a special, special thanks to all of our listeners who contribute to making our show. People that have gone to MaximumFun.org/donate and selected our show as one of the podcasts that they support. I would also encourage people to check out other shows on MaximumFun.org. There are so many great shows, and there's like a couple of new, really awesome shows. The two most recent additions are Magic Lessons with Elizabeth Gilbert and Tights and Fights, the wrestling podcast. Great shows, the both of them.
For the three of you that got my wrestling reference in last week's episodes, Tights and Fights will be just for you.
They're gonna see that. They're gonna see that spike in their listenership. I just know.
Yeah. We got three extra listeners this week. Where did those come from?
Oh God, they're Greatest Gen listeners. We should thank Dark Materia for our music. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, I'm at Benjamin R A H R, and Adam is at Cut for Time. There's a hashtag being used mostly by us, but also by misinformed World War II aficionados. Hashtag is Greatest Gen.
Yeah, no reason to stop reviewing us either.
No, go to iTunes.
Yeah, go to iTunes and give us 5 stars.
Yeah, baby.
Please.
We were briefly at 666 reviews, which really thrilled me. But we're past that now. So thanks, everybody. T-shirt is very, very close to being finalized. I had a little Twitter poll, and it seems like it's going to be a gray shirt with a West Hot American Summer graphic on it. And just as soon as we have that in the store, we will let you know. You'll probably hear first on social media, because it takes us a while to get these shows out. But I'm really happy with the way it looks, and I think you guys will be excited.
I think it'll be something that we can both be proud of and ashamed of.
Exactly.
Just like our show.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's going to be cool is in another year we're going to see people singing Drunk Shimoda karaoke. And people dancing their asses off in the crowd are going to be wearing shirts like this.
Crazy. Well,
well, that's a convention we'll definitely not be invited to.
Yeah.
Just like all the others.
Reddit, Facebook... those are things. And with that, we will be back at you next time with a great episode of Star Trek The Next Generation and a terrifying episode of The Greatest Generation.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.